KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly sunny skies, 37 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 52. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, officials of the Creston Police Department this morning released a report on recent arrests and incidents. Authorities say 40-year-old Richard Starlin of Creston was arrested Sunday for criminal mischief in the third degree. He was later released from the Union County Jail on $2,000 bond. On Saturday, Creston police arrested 20-year-old Tyrell Stucker of Lorimore and 23-year-old Stephen Patterson Jr. of Hampton for driving while suspended. Stucker was later released on $300 bond, while Patterson was released on a promise to appear later in court. Creston police said also a woman residing in the 500 block of East Howard Street reported Sunday that sometime between 7 p.m. and 12 a.m. Saturday, someone destroyed an inflatable snowman that was in her yard. The damage was estimated at $25. And a man residing in the 800 block of North Walnut Street in Creston reported Sunday that sometime Saturday night into Sunday morning, someone stole a decorative Christmas laser light from his yard. The loss there estimated at $50. A 39-year-old Council Bluffs police officer was injured, and another person died when a vehicle struck the officer's cruiser as he was handling traffic control Saturday afternoon. According to Bluffs police officer Josh Horner, a 7-year veteran of Council Bluffs PD, was conducting traffic control on the southbound Interstate 29 near 25th Street at around 3:30 p.m. Saturday when his vehicle was rear-ended. The officer was transported to Creighton Hospital's emergency room for treatment. The driver of the vehicle that struck his car was transported to Nebraska Medicine, where he died. The victim was identified as 72-year-old Bertram Ellis of Houston, Texas. The accident was under investigation by the Council Bluffs Police Department's traffic unit. A traffic stop late Friday night and early Saturday morning in Fremont County resulted in the arrest on drug charges of a Pottawatomie County man. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrup reported sheriff's deputies in the Fremont County K-9 unit conducted a narcotics investigation on Western Avenue and 155th Street west of Thurman, and as a result, arrested 33-year-old Benjamin Foote of Crescent. Foote was investigated on suspicion of distributing methamphetamine. Authorities found that he'd allegedly delivered over an ounce of meth on Western Avenue by Thurman. During the traffic stop, Foote was found to be in possession of more meth and was operating a motor vehicle while suspended. He was also driving a BMW sedan with Iowa dealer plates registered to Cardinal Auto out of Clarinda without the proper paperwork. Foote was transported to the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center, where he was being held on $100,000 bond. An investigation into the BMW and dealer tags continued. The Iowa State Patrol assisted in the original investigation. A massive horse barn fire in Madison County has left one horse dead and another missing. Neighbors say 29 horses were inside the barn when the fire began Friday night. One horse died, another was missing over the weekend, while a third was being treated at the Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Officials had reported Saturday they believed all the horses had escaped the fire that destroyed the 8,000-square-foot barn at the Moffett Lake Equestrian Center near Cumming. More than 100 volunteers helped to search for the horses that bolted from the area. The center's horse show facility is now being converted into a temporary home for the remaining horses. Planned improvements to the Union County Fairgrounds received a big boost last week. Ben Adamson, vice president of the Union County Fair Board, says the DECO Foundation has pledged up to $500,000 in support for the construction of two new buildings and other facelifts to the fairgrounds in Afton. The money is contingent upon a successful fundraising campaign.
If we're successful in raising the first $100,000, then they will award us $100,000. Then we need to raise the remaining funds of about $1 million. And once we have that raised, then they will kick in the other $400,000 to finish the project.
The Indiana-based DECO Foundation was launched in 1981 by Chet DECO, who made his fortune with a manufacturing business. The foundation has a strong focus around the education of youth, and Adamson says one of the biggest reasons for the fairground upgrades is growing participation in the county's 4-H and FFA programs.
They liked our proposal, and so they're willing to step up with a pledge, and now it's up to the fair board to go out to the community and raise the funds needed.
A total budget for the entire project is $1.5 million. Adamson is hoping construction will start after the 2017 Union County Fair. DECO has given the Fair Board until December 31st of next year to raise the funds in order to receive the full pledge funding. Agriculture industry officials in Iowa who are struggling to find workers are being encouraged to reach out to veterans. Lori Culler, founder of the company Ag Hires, says there's a shortage of farm-related labor across the country, and veterans can fill many of those open positions.
We are seeing a huge trend for farms and agribusinesses wanting and looking for military, wanting and looking for veterans that have the skills and abilities that they're looking for. And so there's a big match here.
Veterans who are looking to work in agriculture need to value what they learned during their service, according to Culler.
I think often, I know, for veterans, maybe they don't put as much value on what they learned for leadership and communication skills and structure and process. All those great things about military are so applicable.
Culler encourages employers to have an open mind about applicants who may not have past experience in agriculture but want to be a part of the industry. She made her comments last week at the National Farmer Veteran Coalition Conference in East Lansing, Michigan. While Iowa farmers are still struggling with low commodity prices, Iowa consumers are seeing consistently lower prices at the grocery store. A review from the USDA finds prices at the supermarket fell over the past several months, prompting agency ag analyst Anna Marie Kunz to recalculate her food price forecast for 2017.
We're now expecting to pay 0.5% to 1.5% more for groceries in 2017 than we will in 2016.
That projected increase is tentative, and she says prices could actually go down next year, though food prices haven't decreased for 2 years in a row in 63 years. The USDA's initial prediction for this year was that food prices would rise 2% to 3% from 2015, but they dropped about 1% overall for the year. Kuhn says there was one big factor that resulted in the reduction of food prices, something that shook Iowa's poultry industry.
Eggs, we're now predicting them to decrease between 21 and 22% in 2016. But that was after they had increased 17.8% in 2015 following the highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak.
Prices on a host of products at the grocery store fell in recent months, and Kuhn says the trend should continue for many of those same products in 2017.
Beef and veal, we're expecting to decrease 1% to 2%. Pork, we're expecting to decrease 0 to 1%. Previously, we had been predicting a 0 to 1% increase. We're expecting eggs to decrease an additional 11 to 12% in 2017. And then looking at fresh vegetables, we're now expecting those to decrease 2 to 3%.
The USDA is also projecting several items will be more expensive in the year ahead, including milk, chicken, bread, cereal, fish, and prepared foods. And a project to widen 40 miles of Highway 20 to 4 lanes in northwest Iowa means one small town will have to endure much heavier traffic for 2 years. About 2,500 vehicles a day are expected to follow a detour through the small town of Galva during the $286 million highway project. The detour goes past several homes on the south edge of Galva. Lucas Shasho says he's bothered by the semi-trailer trucks using loud brakes to slow down, and he says many drivers roll through the stop sign near his house. But neighbor Mary Sorensen said she thinks the detour inconvenience will be offset in the long run by the benefits in the road project. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.